Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
With his America First strategy now revived, Donald Trump has promised sweeping economic changes, including a potential imposition of tariffs on all imports to the United States. Now, while his supporters argue these policies could benefit American workers and industries, critics are warning of their impact on the global economy, international relationships, and progress on issues like climate change. More now from Professor André Roux, who's an economist at Stellenbosch Business School. And first of all, Professor, Donald Trump in the White House likely means higher global inflation and a rampant dollar. That would cause our currency to shrink back into pre-GNU levels and for interest rates to remain high. Am I over-egging the pudding here?
Maybe not quite that bad, but there's some element of truth in that. I mean, as you pointed out, he won the election, I believe, by virtue of economics, appealing to the economic hardships of especially working-class Americans. And that is based on pillars such as you mentioned, greater protection of local American industries and, in his view, local workers. He's also suggested that there will be some tax relief for Americans. Again, music in the ears of American consumers, American businesses. But the bigger picture might reveal something slightly different, especially when we look at the tariff story. And by the way, it looks as if there'll be particularly harsh tariffs imposed on Chinese imports. By their very nature, tariffs tend to raise the prices of imported goods. So all things being equal, that could put upward pressure on inflation rates in America, and that could slow down or even delay further interest rate decreases in the USA. That in turn, if here in South Africa, for instance, we do continue with interest rate drops, again, all things being equal, the rand could weaken. Whether it would weaken to the pre-GNU levels is something to be seen, but I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Finish your thought, please.
I was going to say, what I'd be more concerned about is that the trade war, let's call it a trade war between America and China, is likely to escalate, and Africa could be in the crossfire, especially if you bear in mind that a big part of Africa's growth is reliant to some extent, well, to a large extent, on growth in China. So that means if growth in China slows down, then via the more sluggish demand for natural resources, growth in Africa could also follow suit.
So bring it home to South Africa then, Professor. If that trade war starts or at least intensifies, what would the immediate impact be on this economy?
Well, perhaps not as profound as other countries in Africa. We are not quite, well, we know we're near as dependent on natural resources anymore. We have a far more, let's say, diversified economy. And we think about African involvement in things such as investment and the like, perhaps not as severe or not as profound as elsewhere in Africa. But we're bound to be, as I say, almost collateral damage. I do not think that this will result in a massive decline in potential American investment or aid in Africa. I think Donald Trump, although he's rather ambivalent about what he thinks about Africa, in fact, he's even said to famously or infamously refer to African countries in a way which we cannot repeat in public. America does have interest in Africa, and he would probably want to use Africa to, in some way, stem the growing Chinese and Russian involvement in Africa. He's said to have been looking out for capable partners. Now, again, if you look at South Africa's economy, we would be a candidate to be a capable partner, along with others such as Egypt and maybe one or two others. So one could actually see some renewed interest in doing business with Africa and South Africa in particular.
All right. So, Professor, if that's the case then, and given that we don't want to suffer from the collateral damage that you have pointed out, are there specific domestic policies that we should be looking at prioritizing ourselves to shield ourselves from any of those economic shocks?
Well, before I answer that question directly, I would add another dimension to all of this, and this, of course, is AGOA, which means that selected countries in Africa are able to export their goods to America duty-free. Of course, America does reserve the right to remove a country from that list, and they would do so if they feel that a country is showing anti-West tendencies. Now, if you look at South Africa, I'm not going to use that strong word, but we do have some very interesting allies and bedmates. If we think about some of the members of BRICS, for instance, some of them might be deemed to be anti-West. So we have to be careful there not to alienate ourselves from Africa. From America. In terms of our own internal policies, economic policies, I don't think we need to adapt dramatically, if at all, to appease America and the like. We need to get our own ship in order, to use the old cliche, and continue with our relatively conservative, some might argue, westernized approaches. That's a different kind of argument. But I think our general approach to dealing with the economy is not out of tune with what the likes of America would like to see happening.
Just a final one to you, and I don't want to stray into the realm of overt generalization here, but there is a sense that Africa broadly has fared better under Republican administrations. For instance, the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, we know it as PEPFAR, that was launched, I think, 21 years ago. It saved many lives. That has shone a positive halo over the continent.
Yes, even a goer, if I'm not mistaken, was instituted during the reign of George Bush. So yes, whether that is, you know, cause and effect is always a difficult thing in economics, but you are quite right. Africa has not fared badly, or certainly not any worse than in a Democratic Party leadership. It could be that, as I said, he probably does recognize and would like to protect American interests, perhaps more so than the current administration. He's probably a little bit more concerned about trying to stem the growing influence of China and even Russia in Africa. So yes, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. In fact, you'll be able to look at some of the comments made by African leaders following the result. Egypt's president was swift to extend their congratulations, probably because they see themselves as being a capable partner. Uganda's echoed support, South Africa's echoed support. And bear in mind that next year we, South Africa, take over the chair of, we become chair of the presidency of the G20. And no doubt President Ramaphosa will then have to work very closely with the likes of America. And that will be an ideal opportunity to foster and to strengthen any kinds of links.
I'm going to leave it there with my appreciation, Professor André Roux, economist at the Stellenbosch Business School.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.